Greetings to one and all. And this glorious day, they said, he shall reign forever and ever. Welcome to the Pastor J. Rouse Christmas morning sermon and message. I pray that this day greets you with great joy, much love, and eternal peace. Today is a day of celebration. There's question on whether the actual day is Jesus' birthday. I, for one, already say, no, it's not. But I celebrated the day that everyone else celebrates it because I need to celebrate my Jesus. I need to celebrate my Lord. You cannot have a birthday celebration and not have a birthday boy or a birthday girl, and I would never miss his birthday. He is way too important for me not to notice. And even though it may be Christmas and we exchange love and we exchange gifts and pleasantries and we've been kinder than most days, we still need to remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You can't start a birthday party without a birthday song. Jesus loves you too, and that is why we celebrate this day more than any other day out of the year, and so we have to be thankful. Let us look to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as the song says, happy birthday. We know that surely one must live before one can die. You came wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, very humble beginnings. You lived a life of humility, of unconditional love, and with purpose. And even when you lost your way at times and didn't want to go forth and do out and live out your purpose, you are obedient because you are child of the one we call God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you would see fit, despite how we are and how we've been and how we even continue to be this very day, that you would give up your very own, your only, and sacrifice for the love of mankind. We can never begin to understand that, because I don't think I know anyone who would ever do that. But Father, you know what is best, and you do everything with a purpose and a vision. And so therefore, we at least have to say thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, this Christmas day, as we continually seek peace in the land and in the world and even in our own homes, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for this day of peace around the world, that your name would reign and you would be glorious this day, and people would stand still and stop and hold on, they know is right, because of a boy named Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as families get together and friends and those who gather, Father, we just ask right now that they remember love came down on Christmas. Love came down to reign every day. And love should abide in us all the time. And that we would not get together as family and friends and fellowship in love and in kindness, giving of ourselves and not just gifts, giving to our fellow man and those in need and those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who need shelter. You have commanded that we do these things, and what we do for the least of them, we do for you. But Father, we ask that love would reign this day. We declare it, we believe it, and therefore shall receive it. We say, have your way this day now. Take over your show, Father God, and let Jesus get all the glory. He may not be able to blow out a candle, but we certainly will rejoice for him, as we rejoice in him, because of him. We share love this day, now and evermore, to all our listeners, henceforth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy. This is Eddie Neblett.
tears of joy and laughter. People shouted, let everyone know.
A thrill of
What a night. What a holy night. There's nothing more divine than the beautiful birth of a baby. Amen. All right, let's take a look at our scripture. We're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah. We're going to read from chapter 9. I encourage everybody to read the scripture in its entirety when they have some time. But we'll be reading only right now, chapter 9, Isaiah, verses 1 to 7. If you can follow along in your Bible, then please do so. I'm going to begin to read and do the Lord justice. I begin. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honor Galilee and the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. As for in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is Jesus at the Center by Israel Houghton and New Breed. We'll be back with a word from the Lord.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center. Say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
One comes with a throne and the other, well, a barnyard. My. In Isaiah 9, we talk about Christ and his kingdom. You have to have a kingdom to reign and to be sovereign and to be called majestic. But when you come from very humble beginnings, I mean, if we could put Jesus in terms of our current situation in life, we would say, well, first of all, his mama had him out of wedlock. And he was somebody else's baby daddy, had raised this boy. So technically he had a stepfather raising him when the father was not around, so to speak. And then he was trained up and raised up by a man who almost left his mother because she basically, as he said, was having a child out of wedlock, and it was not his, and he was already betrothed, or as they would say in today's society, he was engaged to marry her. And no, he did not necessarily believe that she had not been with somebody else, because when you look at the way that mankind is made from the very beginning, back when we had Adam and Eve, when God created man and woman, that God basically created man and woman, and from there, we, through God's guidance, were able to create our own mankind from there forth. So to create this baby that they called Jesus would surely have to take a man and a woman. But because God was not in the presence and in the tangible way that people could understand, this woman who was admired and considered pure and considered holy and acceptable unto God, as they would say, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And Mary was this person. I mean, the Lord could have picked anybody. He could have picked one of the adulterers. He could have picked one of the many prostitutes that have been around since time began. But God chose the purest of pure. I would like to say that he did that because it would be too obvious and too blatant to have somebody else who's already experienced in the ways of the world to have a baby. But for a miracle to be able to be shown, you have to take the unexpected and create it into being the exceptionally and expectations of miracles. Now, that is why they're called Christmas miracles. That is why Christmas itself is a miracle. There are people out there who may not believe this, but then you know what? We know throughout the Bible, God performed many miracles, and so did Jesus. We who are Christian, we have faith because we believe that everything we hope for cannot necessarily be seen, cannot necessarily been touched, but we have a faith, unshakable, unmovable, stern, solid faith in God Almighty. For if he said it, therefore it is. So now this woman who's already tainted and people are looking and, you know, people's first thoughts would be, well, then obviously she must have been with Joseph. But Joseph knew better. But because God needed things to go the way he needed, he sent down an angel for both of them to explain the situation. And as scary and as frightening and as not considered normal in any manner, they accepted this because God said it. God said to do it. God said this is to name him. This is what he'll be called. This is how he shall be. This is what will happen. We, as regular people, we sometimes listen to God. And maybe God doesn't always send an angel to say, hey, you over there, here's what I want you to do, and here's what God said to do, and here's where God said to go. But this is why we always tune in to the Lord, and we want to hear what he has for us or what he has to say to us. There are people who believe that there are angels among us, and sometimes God will send a message with different people in different ways, even signs in various aspects of things. The story is that God has a plan and he has a vision, and he will put it in place, whether it's going to go the way you expected, whether it's going to go the way others expected. It is irrelevant to God because he is purpose-focused. And to be with God, you need to be purpose-focused. And so Mary and Joseph got their words from the angel, and they said, okay, this is so odd, but we're going to go for it. And they did it. And sometimes, even when God puts things on you and tells you to do something, it's not always going to come across easy. And others may talk, and others may look, and others may watch. But that's important. Not because you feel uncomfortable and you're afraid of what they will say, but it's important that they see it because they need to witness God's unveiling plan. If nobody saw it, then did it really happen? No, because it's your word and everybody else's. But when they're watching you, whether it's with disdain, whether it's in awe, whether it's in curiosity, whatever the purpose is, everything needs to be witnessed. And once you go forth and it happens the way God wants it to, there are people who are going to go, oh, my word, I can't believe this. Wow, this really happened. And as difficult as it may be at times, you still have to keep going forward, trusting and believing that what God told you to do it, no matter how difficult it may be. He will see you through. They traveled from one town to another. We're not talking regular car or truck or they didn't even have horse and buggies back then. They didn't have the public transportation. It's a travel that took days and weeks because they had to go somewhere and they still had to abide by the law. So they went and they had to go and pay their taxes and be accounted for. And they, hey, we do census all the time. But theirs is not that easy. They literally want you to count the people. They need to know you're around. We just fill out a form and send it in. Some of us don't even send it in, and now they're saying, well, if you don't, it's against the law. They followed the law of the land, and they tracked their way with very little. And she was with child. And when they got somewhere, they didn't have anywhere to stay. And she was going to be having a baby. Now, I'm sorry. In today's society, we would be losing our minds. Because one thing is to be going into labor, but we nowadays, we can't go into labor and have a baby anywhere. We got to go to a hospital. We need a birthing room. We need some place special, and we need some place unique, and we need all kinds of people around to make sure we're okay. And difficult times. And I don't think any of us would just say, you know what, it's okay, we'll just stay right here in the barn with the animals. Different times. But it calls for humility, because sometimes in life, when things happen, whether you like it or not, God has a plan and God has a vision. continue to stay purpose-focused. And yes, in a metaphoric way, you will deliver what you need to deliver when the time is right, under whatever circumstance and in whatever manner is needed, it will come forth and it will come to fruition. Now, most of us have baby pictures, and some of us now, we even have films of us being born, like at the moment. And then they take us in the hospital and they wrap us really nice and everybody comes and visits. This didn't happen. They didn't even get to stay in the inn or the hotel where they were checked in because there was no room. So they went somewhere where they could be out of the cold and the night and they could actually stay warm. But it's important because it doesn't matter how you came into this world, but that you came into this world. It doesn't matter how humble you came into this world, and even how humble you remain in the world. But the most important thing is, when you're purpose-focused, what is God's vision of you in the world? What is your purpose to the world? Mary gave birth and she knew he was special, but she didn't really understand how special he was. You know, the world was waiting for a savior. At one point, you know, we always talk about the hero riding in on a big white horse. There's a time when this hero, this king, Lord of lords, King of kings, rode in on a donkey. He was humble to the very end. To be majestic, not necessarily mean that you were called and it ran through your bloodline, but you were called to do certain things, and how you carry yourself and how you do it, and the grace and the class and the majesty of what you do and how you are looked upon is what makes the difference. It doesn't matter where you began. What matters is how you get to where you're going and what you do and how you end it. God will take anybody from humble beginnings and use them for amazing things. Now, I'm going to give you a very quick background on Isaiah 9. Now, it says one of the best ways to introduce the book of Isaiah is to use the first verse. And it says in the first sentence, some of the basic matters about the book are the vision of Isaiah. Now, you got to remember, Isaiah was one who followed God. So God's vision would have been Isaiah's vision because Isaiah didn't go about doing things how he wanted to. And it's funny because the history of this scripture and the chapter and the book itself basically talks about an Assyrian crisis. Well, we're in an Assyrian crisis once again around the world. The world itself is in crisis. And the one thing that they needed back then, during this time, was not only the vision of God, but they were looking for hope. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8, it tells us that the Assyrian crisis, that how God used the Assyria to punish both kingdoms, Israel and Judah. And at the end of the chapter 8, there's a picture of gloom and darkness. There would be, as the Assyrians came through with their devastating military force. And in the last chapter, last verse of chapter 8, It shows the people looking around and seeing trouble, darkness, and the gloom of anguish. But as we go into chapter 9, where we started reading today, it says, this gloom will not last forever. The picture of total gloom, which closed the preceding chapters, gives away a picture of a brilliant light, a star in many forms. There's a star in the sky and a star in a manger. Amen? Things would be bad in the aftermath of this particular Assyrian crisis, but they wouldn't be bad forever. There was still reason for hope. As to the future, God's plan would be carried out. A time would come, Isaiah says, when darkness would be dispelled by light. Gloom would be replaced by darkness, and God would have a nation of people ruled by a perfect king. And that is where we see his declaration of who this king is. He said, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. I like that, the zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. My people, yes, there is an Assyrian crisis now. History is repeating itself in many ways. The world is in crisis. But we still have hope. Hope is born. On Christmas, love came down on Christmas. Hope remains in our hearts. Jesus remains in our hearts. Hope, nothing less but Jesus. Don't give up the hope. Only he is holy, and he remains with hope.
And he instructs us to be holy as he is holy. Not the form of godliness, but be holy as he is holy. We were in church one Sunday, Pastor Anna, and the Lord gave me a song. And I don't get many songs like that in the middle of service. But then it just started to roll out. And I started singing, only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you. for me. Everybody join in.
Only you are holy.
Only you are worthy, Jesus.
Only you are worthy.
Only you are wonderful, Lord.
Only you are wonderful.
Only you are worthy, Lord.
Only you are worthy.
Only you are wonderful, Lord.
Only you are.
Only He is holy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to veil His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, and blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hope. Faith, hope, and love. That is what the Lord has given us. In Hebrews 11 it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Hope, the evidence of things not seen, and the hope of things to come. Purpose, focus. There is hope. There remains hope. He is hope. The darkness has seen the light, and there is a great light, Jesus, the light of the world. Continue to stay strong in your hope and in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. If you've wandered away, it's okay, because He's always stayed constant, and He's always there. He always remains. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't let go of your hand. You let go of His. All you have to do is say, I'm back. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned, or I lost my way. Guide me, lead me, and teach me. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the precious babe that came to this world in very humble beginnings, who would remain and reign as King now and forevermore, all you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. Believe that He is King and He is Lord and He is Jesus and He is the Son of God. And your confession alone will sort it out. But just believe and just ask Him to come into your life and it shall be done. It's that simple. But we pray right now that you would be blessed and encouraged. If you need help, speak to someone, speak to a minister, speak to another brother and sister in Christ. You can contact us, PastorJRouse@gmail.com, or you can contact us through social media. You are never, never alone. Majesty in a manger, from humble beginnings to reigning over all. No matter where you began, God has an amazing job and an amazing purpose for you. Continue to follow Him. He will always clear the path and allow you to go through, because you too are royalty. You are joint heirs to Christ. Doesn't matter where you began, because majesty began in a manger. We all need love and we all need hope.
I've run out of answers, I've run out of time, and I'm so confused that I'm losing my mind. It's gonna take a miracle to help me this time. I'm traveling a road that has not one sign. Let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry. Hey, this is my plea. You see, I need
an angel.
I'm calling
an angel.
Send me
an angel down.
This one tree can't understand why I'm sinking so deep. Help me,
help me.
Won't you have mercy? Set my soul free, please. And let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry.
On behalf of myself, Pastor J. Rouse, Rouse Ministries Broadcasting, Rouse Ministries, the Pastor J. Rouse Show, and all our affiliated shows and programs and divisions, our staff, our co-hosts, our family and friends and volunteers, we want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Continue to have hope. And be strong and have faith. of a mustard seed. Jesus loves you, and so do I. But Jesus loves you so much more. I can tell you this for sure, because his life depended on it. Happy birthday, Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Oh, Here we are, like the olden days.